else, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. Read a pretty famous verse, especially this time of the year as it deals with Christmas and the birth of Christ and specifically what we'll be discussing this morning. So if your Bible's Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." If you would pray for me this morning as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now and we just ask you to meet us right where we're at. Whatever weeks or days or months that we're coming off of, maybe they're times of chaos, of just a hectic schedule, of hurriedness. Maybe we just haven't felt like we've had any time just to sit and be. Lord, allow us to have that moment right now where we can just be calm and take a deep breath and soak you in. Maybe for others of us, Lord, we're coming off times that, things are great. Things are going better. Things are moving in the right direction. And we just need to come in here this morning and just thank you for that. To sit and just praise you for who you are and thank you for all that you've done for us. This morning, as we seek to restore our joy, as we look at this verse and look at what you bring us through the birth of your Son, no matter where we're at on the spectrum, days of hurt or hurriedness to days of praise, let us find joy in the midst of everything. And it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. What is something that's easy for you to lose? Let me think about that. Is there something in your life that you're like, man, I always lose this. If I don't put this in just the right spot, then I know I'm going to lose it. Maybe it's your phone, right? I think one of the greatest inventions is Find My iPhone, right? I have to use that a lot. Our family has to use that a lot. We hear beeping and things going on. You know, maybe it's your keys, you know, and it seems like you always lose your keys, not when you have plenty of time, but right when you're like behind schedule. And you're like, oh my gosh, where are my keys? We're running around, you know? So, you know, we lose our that. What about your wallet, right? Like, you ever been someplace like for me, the big three is I am OCD about keys, wallet, phone. And I know what pockets they're in, and I'm always like, duh, duh, duh. You know, I'm like, it's like I'm giving baseball signals, like somebody's about to slide or still home. You know, it's like I'm patting myself down. But I need to know, you know, do I have my wallet, my keys, my phone? Maybe your mind, right? Maybe you find, let's be honest, like, especially this time of year, it's like I am losing my mind, especially if you work in retail, work somewhere where just the busyness and the craziness of this season. Maybe it's your kids, right? I mean, let's be honest. If you have like 0 to 1 kid, you're like, I don't see how you could ever lose a kid. And then if you have 2, you're like, maybe I could see it. And if you have 3 or more kids like us, it's a miracle if you come home with all 3. It's like it's a win. You might even have the 3 you left with, but if you come home with 3, then that's pretty good because things just happen. So whether it's something small and your wallet, keys, phone, or our mind, or our craziness, or life, or kids, or whatever, let's just face it. There are things in life that we value. That when we don't have them, we miss them. And we will do anything we can to find them. For me, what I've learned, I think, the most, especially over these last 18 months to almost now 2 years, is one of the things that's the easiest for all of us to lose and maybe the hardest to kind of get back is joy. And that's why this passage just kind of jumps out at me so much. Saying, I'm going to bring you joy. This joy, this joy that should be expectant, this joy that as the verse goes, as the scriptures goes, when you read this Bible, something that should just be as natural to us as believers as breathing, joy. But we've all been there and we've all lost our joy. Because let's face it, it doesn't take something like a pandemic for us to lose our joy. We can lose our joy with a phone call, a text, an email. We can lose our joy with a job loss, a broken relationship, a tragedy in your life. Things are going great. You're filling this life of joy. And then one little small thing can happen. And all of a sudden, you've lost it. Now, what most of us do, let's be honest, is we try to get our joy back. We think we can get it back. We don't get it back, you know, quick enough. And so we give up on joy. And what we do, especially as I see a lot of Christians do this, we're like, you know what? I had joy. It was great. It was kind of like a bonus feature here on earth. But you know what? Now that it's gone, I'm just going to ride out my time here on earth, and I'll have joy again when I get to heaven. Like, I'm just going to move through life, and that's the way it'll be. But that's not what the scriptures say joy should be like. Joy is not a wait till heaven and you can get it back kind of thing. Joy is about the now. In the book of Romans chapter 14, the Message version, I love the way it says this: God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right. He puts it all together and completes it with joy. Paul's saying, look, this life that we have here on earth, everything that God puts together, joy is like the bow on top. It is the thing that holds everything together. It's not about what you put in your stomach. It's not about what you have, don't have, all of these things. It's about having this complete life in Christ, all wrapped up and tied neatly with joy. Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets, wrote in the book of Lamentations chapter 5, he said this: there is no joy left in our hearts. We get that. We've been there. Some of us may still be there right now. That if we're talking about joy, we would write, there's really no joy left in my heart. And if that's you, if you're struggling with joy today, if you maybe you hadn't even thought about it till just now, but if you're like, you know what? I think I have lost my joy. Like, I think I don't have that thing that I used to have inside of me that would, like, get me up in the morning or make me, you know, no matter what was going on in life, the craziness around me, I could feel this thing inside that I couldn't put a finger on, but it just made me feel whole. Like, if you've lost that sense of joy, then today is a day for you. And I want you to listen to three things about joy that I want you to kind of write down and jot down to yourself. Number one, joy is important. It's not something that's an added feature in life. It's not something that's just a bonus. We can read here in the scriptures from the birth of Christ to the book of Romans and everything in between and everything before and after. The scriptures tell us that joy is vital in our lives. That joy is important. Because the problem is that if we don't continually pursue joy, our hearts become hardened. And the things of this world that should be breaking our hearts, the things of this world that should be drawing us to a sense of compassion and a sense of wanting to serve and help others is all of a sudden gone. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, puts it this way: there's no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, then you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around hobbies and luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, it will be safe. But it is also dark and motionless and airless, and it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. We can live our lives trying our hardest to avoid having our joy stolen, having our hearts broke. But at the end of the day, it's not how we were designed. God designed us not to just seek joy, but to experience joy, to live a life of joy. Because even C.S. Lewis realized, just like the scriptures tell us, when we detach ourselves from joy, when we detach ourselves from the things that bring us joy, it dehumanizes us. It makes us something that we were never created to be. We're literally the walking dead. So the first thing I want you to understand is joy is important. Having joy in your life is important. It is vital to our lives. The second thing I want you to understand is this, is that Christian joy is unique. Christian joy is unique because Christian joy, it is not based on circumstances. Paul writes in Romans, we should find joy in our sufferings. You know what sufferings are? Let's just put it in layman's terms. To suffer means that favorable circumstances are no longer happening, right? That's suffering. That's when we suffer. When things that were once favorable to us, things that were once going good for us, the job was going great, I was making good money, I was getting raises, or, you know, we had money in the bank account, or the car was running, it wasn't getting flat tires, it wasn't broken down, you know, my marriage was going great, we were never fighting, everything was wonderful, my kids were behaving, they were listening to everything I said, whatever it is. When circumstances are favorable, we're happy. But when circumstances are not favorable, we suffer. That's what suffering is. But here's the thing. There is a big difference between being happy and having joy. Happiness is always based on our circumstances. If externally things are going right, we're happy. But when things don't go right, we're not happy. I looked it up. There's a website literally called happier.com. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it goes into how to be happy. And I found it amusing. There's five things that happier.com and all of their research and all the studies, of course, all of centuries of years has put together. If you have these five things, happier.com guarantees you'll be happy. Okay? Here we go. Number one, to be in possession of the basics, food, shelter, good health, and safety. Number two, to get enough sleep. Number three, to have relationships that matter to you. Number four, to take compassionate care of others and of yourself. And number five, have work or interest that engages you. Do you realize how ridiculous all this is? Like, nobody on earth has ever had these five things, right? Like, no one. And there is a good portion of society, of this world, that never has had the chance of having these things. Do you realize just number one, to be in possession of the basics, food, shelter, good health, and safety. Do you realize how many people in the world today that are being born right now will live their entire lives and never have those things? Right? So what happens when we don't have those five things, when we don't have the basics, or we don't get enough sleep, or we don't have great relationships, or we're not being compassionate, or we don't have work that engages us? Then what? We're unhappy. And all of a sudden, what? Our life stinks. How's life? Terrible. Well, why is it terrible? I hate my boss. All right. So is your life built around your boss? Well, that's what happens. We take our circumstances and we take everything we have in life and we're like, all right, if externally everything can be going right, then I'll be happy and everything will be good. But it's never going to happen. It's a dream. We're never going to have life where externally everything is perfect, where everything is exactly the way we would want it to be this side of heaven. It doesn't happen. And so that's why Paul says, as he's writing, that we find joy in our suffering. Now, he's not saying rejoice because of your suffering. He's not saying, walk around like, yeah, I lost another job. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying is that when you have joy in your suffering, then what happens is what? Suffering is when favorable circumstances change, right? So when he's saying you find joy in your suffering, is that you can find joy that when your circumstances change, marriage is rocky, kids aren't listening, bills are getting harder and harder to get paid, car's breaking down, you just lost your job, whatever it may be. When those things, when these sufferings of life happen, you can still find joy because you know that God is in control. And in the midst of our sufferings, in the midst of our circumstances, both good and bad, we can still find the exact same joy because Christian joy is not based on what? Our circumstances. It just isn't. How many times, think about it, in my whole life, as I was thinking about this week, in the midst of my suffering, right? In the midst of the times of my life when externally things weren't going right, did anything good come out of those things? Absolutely. Man, I was just jotting down a few things, because of some of the things that I felt like I suffered through. It built endurance. It built perseverance. It built character. And all of those things led me to have more hope and more joy. The circumstances may not have changed. They definitely didn't change overnight. But I changed. I got stronger and better. A better pastor, a better father, a better husband, a better son, a better friend. Because I went through struggles in those relationships previously. We had an opportunity. We're doing the Great College Tour right now, you know, as we're trying to find a place to ship our son off to. And so we went to this one college on Friday to go visit, and Jacob's wanting to play football. And so we had this great talk with the head football coach, and we sat there. I mean, just an amazing guy. We sat there and had this great conversation with him, and he looked at Jacob, and he's like asking Jacob all these questions, you know, about himself. And he was like, you know, do you have a job? Jacob's like, no, I don't have a job. He said, go get a job. And I was like, I like this guy, right? I'm like, all right, I'm like, you're playing for him. He was like, go get a job. And then he didn't stop there. He said, don't just get a job, get a bad job. He said, there's no greater teacher in life than having a bad job. Because when you have a bad job, it teaches you what kind of job you don't want to have in life. And he was like, you want a bad job so you'll know this is what I want to do. I don't want to do this, right? And I thought, man, that is finding joy in your sufferings. We've all been there. If you've ever had a job, odds are you've had a bad job. But you've been able to persevere, you've been able to endure, you've been able to get through it, and you have that hope that one day I'm going to get out of this job and I'm going to have something better. It's that in that suffering, when circumstances aren't the best, joy can still produce things inside of you that will make it better down the road. Christian joy is not about happiness. It's not about our circumstances. It's about what Christ does for us, in the midst of our sufferings. So number one, joy is important. Number two, Christian joy is unique. Number three, joy is not earned. You can't mass produce joy. You can't go out today. I can't give you an equation and say, all right, you know, go do these things and you can build joy in your basement, right? That's not it. You can't go out and do certain things and have joy earned. You become a Christian. You know what? Your salvation is not based on what? Works. You can't work your way into a salvation with Jesus. It is freely given, just like joy is. All other religions, every other religion that's ever been, has said the same thing. If you live like you ought to, then our God will bless you. That's it. That's the core of every other religion. Like, work and you get something. One of my favorite TV shows from past 15 years or so, criminally underrated, is My Name is Earl, right? Did you ever see that show? Like right now, our youngest, Josh, is hooked on My Name is Earl. You know, it's on the Hulu. And so we're watching it, you know, we're watching the episode tonight. And if you don't know anything about Earl, I'll just go ahead and tell you. Earl, the whole premise of the show is ridiculous. There's this deadbeat guy, always into bad things, and gets a lottery ticket, wins a bunch of money, then gets hit by a car. Right? And while he's in a hospital, he has this revelation that the reason bad things keep happening to him is because he keeps doing bad things. So he creates this list of like 300 items, all the bad things he's ever done in his life. And he says, when I get out of the hospital, I'm going to start making right on all these things. When he gets out of the hospital, he finds his lottery ticket that he had lost when he got hit by a car. He cashes it in, he gets all this money. And now he lives this life of going and trying to make right this list of all these things. And so when you ask Earl, right? Like, why are you doing this? Very simply, he says, do good things happen. Do bad things happen. Karma. Like, that's what this whole premise of this TV show is about. And it's funny, and it's comical, and, you know, there's things, and there's parts of it that's touching. And yes, there is this element, even as Christians, that we can buy into of making right, of restoring relationships, of going back to someone you've wronged and just saying, I'm sorry. Let me make it up to you. I mean, that's biblical stuff there, right? If you leave the altar and go take care of what you messed up. I mean, that is biblical. But what's not biblical is the whole idea that you got to keep it going. Josh and I watched an episode the other night where, Earl's going along and all this stuff's happening, and he stole a laptop from somebody. And he finds out the laptop is owned by this college professor. So he goes to this college and he finds the professor, and it's like this gorgeous blonde. And so all of a sudden, she becomes fascinated with him. He's fascinated with her. And he stops doing his list because all he cares about is her. And then all of a sudden, all these bad things start happening to Earl again. Like all this stuff. It's like, and he's having this conflict of he wants to be with this girl, but he can't do the list and be with her. And all these bad things are happening and all of this. And it plays out. It's funny. But I sat there and watched it And I was exhausted. I'm like, holy cow, this is how we live our lives, right? All of us, even as Christians. I got to do the right thing. I got to do the right thing. If I don't do the right thing, then God's going to zap me. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we get on this, like, this almost like this mouse on a wheel type mentality where we have to run and keep doing all the right things. And if we don't do all the right things exactly perfectly right, then God's going to just zap us and life's going to be terrible and we're going to hit by cars and stung by bees and all this craziness that ensues in the TV show. But that's not life at all. Because when we live life like that, it builds uncertainty into our future. Let's face it, Earl, this fictional character, can never have certainty of his future because the only thing that's certain for him is that he has to keep doing the right things. If he doesn't, then bad things are going to happen. So he really has no future. It's all about right now. But what the scriptures give us, what God gives us, what he gave us in Jesus Christ, this joy that I'm talking about, is joy gives us a future. Joy gives us certainty in that. Let's read that verse again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy for all people." I'm bringing you joy. Joy that you don't have to earn. Joy that you don't have to go and jump through hoops about and memorize 1,000 verses and go to 100 Bible studies and write a hit Christian song. None of those things. You can't earn joy just like we can't earn our salvation. Our joy comes from Jesus, and that's it. Regardless of what you do today or don't do today, if you wake up today and your life falls apart, we can still have joy. If we wake up today and do everything exactly right and we live a sinless day, life can still go sideways. So it doesn't matter what we do. It matters what we have. Joy is important. Christian joy is unique, and joy cannot be earned. It is given to us through our relationship with Jesus. That's it. So what happens if we've lost it? What happens if we never had it, right? Like, where is this joy found? Like, where can I go find this joy again? A couple of things as I was thinking about it. Going back to the very first question of the morning, have you ever lost anything that you really cared about? Your keys, your phone, your wallet. What do you do? If you're me, you go back to the last place you found, you had it, right? I mean, if you lose your car keys, you don't have somebody drive you to a Food Lion to look for them. Because rationally, you'd look at it and be like, well, I drove myself home, so my keys should be in my house, right? I mean, think about it. You're not going to go somewhere and look for something you've lost if you know that it was never there. And I think we do that with joy a lot of times, is you're like, well, I used to have joy when... And we can list some things. I don't have joy now, so let me go try to find joy somewhere else. I see this in marriages, and I don't know how many hours I've spent in marriage counseling with couples who've lost their joy. And you know what happens? Instead of going back to the original place where that marriage used to have joy, they start trying to find joy in other places. And most of the time, it's other people. Well, their joy was never there. Their joy was who they used to be, who they were when they once had that joy in their marriage. So if you've lost your joy, the first thing I can tell you right now is the same thing you do if you lose your keys. Where'd you last have it? Start backtracking. Man, I know I had joy here. Okay, maybe I didn't. Maybe I had it here, you know? And start going through the timeline of your life and the mile markers of your life till you get to that point where you can say, you know what? I know without a shadow of a doubt, I had joy in this moment, in this time of my life, in your marriage, in your relationship with Jesus, in your career, in your hobby, in your interest, in who you are. Going back to that place where you last had it and starting from there. The second thing is I would tell you to do is you need to ask yourself a couple questions. You need to ask yourself this: has there ever been a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now? Has there been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now. Because God and joy are hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And if you look at your own life and say, you know what, I don't feel very close to God right now, I'm willing to bet everything I have that you don't have a lot of joy right now. Even if your circumstances may be great and you may be happy, you're not going to have joy. So has there been a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now? Because if there was, that was probably the last time you felt real joy. Because then the second question is there a time in my life that I felt more joyful about my relationship with Jesus than I do right now? And that's where we go back to the first thing we do. We go back to that place we last had joy, the place where we had that relationship with Jesus, where we felt whole, and we start right there. And then the third thing, you do whatever is necessary to get it back. Whatever it takes. If you can sit here this morning and say, you know what, I had joy 4 years ago at this point when this was going on. All right, you need to get back to that point 4 years ago. Well, Mike, you don't understand. I had a different job then. I had this, I had that. Well, you need to get back. But you don't understand. My marriage was a lot different then. You know, we were kind of growing apart, blah, blah, blah. Well, you need to get your marriage back. But Mike, you know what? It doesn't matter. God has not changed. God is not the one who drifted. He is not the one that hid your joy in an Easter egg somewhere, right, for you to find. He's still there. He still has your joy. The place in life where you last had joy is still there, with him waiting on you. Joy is attainable because joy is important. Joy is unique. Joy is not earned. Joy is given through God, with God, through Jesus to us. And if you don't have joy right now, why don't you? Where was the last place you had it? How close are you to God right now compared to when you felt that joy? And what do you have to do right now to get it back? I know I've shared this story. It's been a while, but talk about losing kids. Many years ago, I don't know, Josh was probably two. I had one job to watch Josh, right? The other two were in school. Beth was at work. I was at home that day. I lost Josh in my house. Right? I lost him. Like I tore the house apart looking for Josh and I could not find him. He was 2 years old. I'm panicked. I'm running around. I can't find him. Eventually I find him. He has gone in his bathroom and shut the door, which is great, right? The door was shut. I went to go open it. It was unlocked, but I tried to open the door and the door wouldn't open. It's because Josh had gone into this, as a two-year-old, went into this bathroom, shut the door. It's pitch black. It's like an interior bathroom. There's no windows or anything. He was trying to get out. He had grabbed the bathroom cabinet drawer and pulled it out. So when I opened the door was hitting the drawer, right? There was a sliver. I was like, I'm here, buddy, I'm here. And I could hear him inside. He hadn't drowned in the toilet. Everything was good. Like I knew he was in there. My son was lost. Now I found him. Now what was I going to do? Whatever was necessary. I didn't worked very hard on trying to get that drawer shut. I backed up. This is an interior door, so it wasn't that hard. I punched a hole through that door and reached in and shut that drawer and opened that door up and got my son back. And then I replaced the door so Beth wouldn't know. And so if you come to our house, we do have a bathroom with a door that's solid. We don't have like a hole or anything so we can watch you. So like it's there. But I was willing to do whatever it took to get my son. Like anything, because he was that important to me. Our joy should be that important to us. Like, man, I'm just, like, life is too short. God has given us joy, great joy, as the angel told us. I am here to give you great joy in Jesus. And if we don't have it, and we can sit here this morning and say, man, I am a believer, I am a Christian, I am a follower. Like, I'm all in. If you can say that and you don't have joy, you need to be punching some holes in some doors. You need to be doing whatever it takes to get that joy back. If it means going back to the last point you had that joy and starting from right there, and moving forward from there, then you do it. If it means making some drastic changes in your life, maybe some habits, some sin, some different things, busyness, whatever it may be, work, all these things have kind of gotten in the way and buried your joy. You need to remove all of that so you can get that joy back. Joy is essential to our Christian faith. If we don't have joy, we don't have hope. If we don't have joy, we don't have peace. If we don't have joy, we don't have love. This Bible is a book of joy, of great joy. The birth of Jesus is about great joy. It's not a cherry on top. It's not something extra that we can take or not take. It is vital to our lives as believers. Joy is important. Joy is unique. Joy is not earned. And if you don't have joy this morning, why don't you? I want to encourage you to get back to that place where you first had it, where you last had it. I want you to examine your relationship with God because joy and God go hand in hand. Plus, odds are, if you're not as close to God right now as you used to be, you don't have joy right now. And then lastly, you need to decide today, right now, what do I have to do to get that joy back? I will do whatever is necessary. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great joy that you've given us. I am so thankful that our joy is not based on our circumstances. Because let's face it, we may never have all the basics in life. We may never have the most perfect relationships or the greatest job or career. But God, what we do have is you. And in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our doubts, of our questions, of all the things in life, Lord, that causes stress and anxiety and depression and fear, your word to us is the same word the angel gave over 2,000 years ago. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news and great joy. That good news is Jesus is here for all. That we can have a relationship with Christ. That Jesus loves me and wants to be with me despite all my imperfections. That in the midst of life and all the things that bring me suffering, Jesus is here to bring me joy in the midst of that. Joy, God, I just pray this morning that we walk out of here with a sense of the utmost importance of finding the joy in our lives again, a joy that only you can bring. Let us be as passionate about the joy in our life as you are. Thank you, God, for giving us something that is so amazing. Joy is not a burden. Joy is not a pain. Joy is not one more thing to stress about. You have given us something that makes our lives complete. And we thank you for that, God. And it is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, again, a couple of announcements really quick as we wrap up. Youth is happening today, right? And so the youth had an amazing time yesterday, went up to the mountains and spent the day and had an awesome time, and you still have enough energy to have youth today. That is incredible, Quentin. That's, man, you deserve a raise. Deep, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, youth is happening today, 4:30 to 6 o'clock here at the church. Yes. Quentin found out yesterday, because Beth was first time chaperone on a youth trip with Quentin, that she is not the disciplinarian in our house. And so, yeah, he got to experience what I experience every day of my life. And fun parent, I know. Fun, beautiful, smart, and we're just the ugly, mean ogres, right? I mean, that's it. So yeah, youth today, 4:30 to 6 o'clock. Kids' Christmas party next Sunday, and that's for all kids ages 5 up through 5th grade. See Natalie if you have any questions about that. Gift Mart, I've been asked where to bring stuff. We've closed off the classroom down the hall right next to my office. There's a sign on the door that says Gift Mart. Just bring your stuff and drop it off in there. We had something incredible happen yesterday, and we don't talk about this enough, how blessed we are to have the Kernersville Dance Company as part of Project Re 3. And as you know, the Crystal Dance Company and Lauren Real do things. She has like, I don't know, 160 kids that come here. A couple of weeks ago, we had a kid that had a birthday party. And for her birthday, she just asked everybody to bring food. And everybody brought food, canned food, and she donated it all to the food pantry. It was unbelievable. Yesterday, Lauren sent me some pictures. She was like, hey, this girl just had a birthday party. She told everybody to bring toys, and she gave them all to the gift mart, right? I mean, that's incredible. Like, these little girls are doing this. And that's an incredible ministry here at Re 3 that's feeding other ministries at Re 3. And so we got a bunch of toys in there that this little girl collected. You guys have collected some. That's amazing. We have other churches that are collecting. And so it's going to be big. Like I said, right now, we're looking at, right now, as of right now, it'll grow a little bit. We have 72 kids that we're going to be providing Christmas for this year. That's pretty awesome. And yeah, we can clap for that. So anyway, Wednesday's the deadline for bringing stuff. Thursday, we're going to be setting up over there and sorting things out. Friday, we're going to be shopping. And then Saturday, we're going to be hosting the gift mart over at the Hope Center and having some folks and some kids have an incredible Christmas. And so still some places to plug in if you want. Look at Sign Up Genius. See where there's empty slots. Maybe you can fill in and help out there. But again, just lots of cool stuff happening here at Re3 that I'm excited about. Hopefully you are too. And you can plug in there. But other than that, you guys have an incredible, joy-filled Sunday and a week, and we'll see you back here real soon. Thanks.